today on Real Radio.
When you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, you were saved that day. If you would have been hit by a truck that day, you'd have went to heaven. But now you've lived 5 years down the road. What's happened in your life? Holiness. Practical holiness. You, God has been changing you from the inside out.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How a Church Should Stand, begins in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 with verses 1 through 13. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. Paul's word to the church came from his heart. He taught them how to stand during the trials and growing pains of being a new church. A glorious future is ahead of them if they stay strong in their love for Christ and his word. This same message holds true even today. The believer is to be ready and waiting for Christ's return, even though there are tough times going on around them. Today, Pastor Jack shares how the church's growth brought Paul peace. His prayer for them was to not get discouraged in times of hardship and suffering. His hope for them was to be more like Christ by leading pure and holy lives. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I'm not going to name the denomination. I'll leave that unnamed. We were going to rent a facility from them. And the board on the church, some of them didn't even know Jesus Christ and weren't even born again. They didn't even go to church. And they were making decisions for the church. Can you believe that? I don't know. Maybe you can't believe it where you've come from. I can't believe that. That's amazing to me. Not Paul with Timothy. Paul wants to be there. He can't. So who does he send? He sends Timothy, a man like-minded. What a great heart this guy has. So we'll keep going. To establish them and to encourage them concerning their faith. Verse 3, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. Hey, there's going to be the word afflictions. Pressures of life to be placed in the kettle. Pressures. They're going to happen. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Watch. Verse 4. For in fact, we told you these things, that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened. See, it told you, he says. You know it. Brand new believers, they knew that life was not necessarily going to be easy because they're a Christian now. Verse 5, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know about your faith, lest by some means the tempter, that is a reference to Satan, that the tempter had come and tempted you and our labor have been in vain. Second point to the study that we want to mark this morning is that their lives became a letter, an epistle to Paul. In verses 6 through 8, the way they lived brought Paul great, great news. Watch this. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, note that faith and love, faith toward God, love toward men, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, verse 7, in all our afflictions and distresses, Paul's talking about his own, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. Man, this is what he's saying. We have been ostracized, can't get near you, and people are chewing on us right now. There were tremendous attacks coming against Paul. People were accusing him of being a charlatan, a ripoff con artist, and they're coming at him and against him. And Paul says, you know what? It doesn't matter now what they say about me. It doesn't matter what happened. Paul said, hey, hit me with a rock. It doesn't matter now that I've received word that your faith is growing and you're strong in the Lord. Go ahead, knock me out. Isn't that great? All I needed to hear. Mom, Dad, sometimes that's all you need to hear. I'm doing good. I had a mother last service come up to me and say, Jack, my son's been away. He's come home. Didn't even get a chance to talk to him before I saw in his car. He had a Christian sticker on his car. He's coming back to the Lord. Well, he was standing right there. I mean, I knew instantly if his car had a sticker on it, the car was saved, but what about him? And he's made a commitment to Christ. That's great. A mom or a dad's heart just flips over that. The commitment. Paul says, man, that's all I needed to hear. It's all I needed to know. I had this thing happen to me that the Lord had really, really nailed me with. My daughter wanted a new Bible. Her other Bible's falling apart. It's not really falling apart. It's a couple pages kind of getting loose. And I told her, now it's good. Now it's good. Use a rubber band and hold your Bible together. It's good. It's just broken in. I want another Bible. So there's this battle. I know this is not true in your home, but in my home. Did you bring the trash cans in today? No, I forgot. Okay, well, they're still out there waiting, so go get them. And, you go through that. We do anyway in our house, and you go through that thing. Well, I want a new Bible. Did you bring the trash cans in? No, you're not getting a new Bible until the trash cans come in. And that thing went on for like weeks. Trash cans are there. Yeah, I know. When am I going to get my Bible? You're not going to get a Bible until the trash cans, until you're faithful bringing those things in and out. No Bible. No trash cans. No Bible. That settles it. Then she starts, oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And then me, I say, change that look on your face, cheer up, and do it as unto the Lord. Now, you would think that I would have caught on to this. So, trash cans finally make it in. Last week, anyway. And get the Bible. I come home. Here's the Bible. Grabs the Bible, looks at it. Oh, gives me a kiss. Goes, runs out into the backyard with the Bible. Starts jumping on the trampoline, holding the Bible. Then calls her friend. Goes down to the house. Got my new Bible! The world could have been nuked. She never would have known it. And the Lord nailed me to the wall. He said, you didn't even acknowledge me in all this stuff. You didn't even thank me that your daughter has been a nuisance to you because she wants a new Bible. She could have wanted some drugs. She could have wanted to run away from home. She could have wanted $1 million or a dollar. She wanted a Bible. And you've been beating her over the head with a trash can deal. And I just had to thank God because my kid, it was such a big deal for her to have a new Bible. You know, I mean, I walked away and the Lord's just, you know, boink, 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 you know. And my heart as a parent, your heart as a parent is, yes, it's great. Paul had a heart like that toward this church. It's a wonderful thing. Paul was brighter and smarter, though, much. That's an excellent, excellent passion he had for them. And look at verse 8. He says, for now we live, if you, or since, really, you stand fast in the Lord. You ever seen the Nestle plunge into the pool? That's Paul. Now we live. Oh, man, just to know you're walking with the Lord. That's it. I was being persecuted and hit by all these guys, not with news like this. Go ahead. Is it great? Beautiful. Final portion, verses 9 to 13. He offers up prayer for them. Offers up prayer for them. For their continued growth, their maturing, their maturity in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 9, for what thanks, isn't it beautiful? For what thanks can we render to God for you? What can we say? I have nothing left to say to God regarding you anymore. I can't say another word. For all the joy which we rejoice for your sake before our God. Look at verse 10. And I want you to mark verse 10. He says, night and day, praying exceedingly. I'm going to give you three aspects of his prayer life that's important to us. Jot them down. One of them is right here. His first prayer to them or for them is that we may see your face and complete or help perfect, bring to completion what is lacking in your faith. You see your Bible there? There's a question mark. He's not saying you guys are lacking in faith. He's saying we want to see your face and minister to you so that if anything's lacking, we can help you grow along, mature in Christ. people. It's called fellowship. Some of you, and I don't know all of you in this church, but it's possible some people might come to this church and then not talk to another Christian for the entire week. Man, I hope that's not you. I couldn't survive like that. But I hope you have brothers and sisters here or maybe at some other church where you fellowship with. Paul is saying, I want to fellowship with you. And they're sitting around drinking coffee and kicking back and relaxing. We can talk about Bible. We can enjoy each other and fellowship with each other. And that's a great way to grow. That's what's so beautiful about the home fellowships on Sunday nights. It's intimate. Small groups. Paul is saying, that's my prayer. That you guys continue to grow, that you mature, that your faith becomes complete. And all through life's experience, you're going to be growing stronger and stronger and know more about the Lord. That's his prayer. The second prayer that he has for them, I said there's three of them. The second one is that their love might abound. And this is important. Look at verse 12. He says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Watch this. He prays for them to have love toward the others around them, just as he has love for them. People, what happens when we have a hardship, a difficult time in our lives? What do? We so often, somebody might come up and say, how you doing? And we explode. I'm doing fine. No, I'm just not letting you. And it all comes out. And it's okay. I mean, it's okay to do that. It's okay. But what is dangerous about in the midst of our afflictions, not handling it right, is we wind up getting our eyes looking right back on ourselves. What happened to you? Broke my foot. Well, how'd that happen? And then there goes an hour and a half of this thing, this incredible story. And no foot in the world has been broken like my foot. The doctor, you know what the doctor said? And we got this big thing. And what's happened is, what is a trial is now a great tribulation. You know why? It's our problem. And somebody comes by and they says, well, you know what happened? You broke your foot like that. I broke my foot like this. Right. Anyway, as I was saying about me was, you see, our eyes go right back at ourselves. And it's very important because this church was under attack. So the tendency is, boy, do we have it bad in Thessalonica. Woo! Paul, tell those guys in Corinth how bad we got it. I mean, ain't nobody been persecuted like us. We're really under the gun here, boy. And when we get done with this, we're going to write a book. And we're going to tell you all about it. It's been so bad. Paul says, no, in tribulation and in trial, this is our prayer for you, that you love others. Because in hardship, we focus on self. And listen, hear me out on this. Don't turn this off yet. You want to get out of your dilemma faster? Take your eyes off of who you are and get it onto someone else's situation. You think I'm kidding? Try it. Are you having a rough day? Let's go down to Children's Hospital in Orange County. You have a bad week? Let's go to the Norton Simon Institute and go to the cancer patients that have been given a one-way ticket. In 1880, I was learning how to fly an airplane. 1880. Same difference. Same difference. And before you ever even get in an airplane, you go through ground school. You got to pass all that stuff and go through all that thing. And it's a lot of fun. Well, an amazing thing is if you don't study, you're going to be thinking like a lot of people think, is if you've got a 50-mile-an-hour wind blowing out there at the airport, and you're going to take off, which way do you think you should point the plane? Some people say, gosh, 50-mile-an-hour wind, that's pretty good. Let's just use that wind and just go with it and off we go. Give it a push. Hey, that sounds reasonable. Get that wind to push that airplane down the runway. Gee, maybe you'll be going faster. You will be going faster, but you'll never get off the ground. You'll die at the end of the runway. Because the only way that the Bernoulli principle works on a wing is if you taxi the plane down and point it into the wind. The moment the air begins to flow over the top and bottom part of the wing, it creates a negative and positive pressure. And what happens is, when that opposition is great enough to the wing takes off. The greater the opposition, the greater the climb rate, the faster the climb rate. You can have a heavier load and get off the ground if the wind is even stronger against you. You'll even get to your cruising altitude faster, all because of opposition. It's a law of science. It's a law of Christianity. In our lives, we have opposition coming against us. And what do we have a tendency to do? That's it. We run with it. And we never get off. I thought I could handle my problems by doing some more coke. That's what I used to do in the olden days. I lost my job. So what happened? I went down to the bar, got drunk. Oh, how do you feel now? Drunk. My head hurts. What did it do for you? Nothing. I feel terrible. Not good. Don't go with the flow. Christianity, the Holy Spirit in our lives, the Holy Spirit's amazing. Opposition comes, what does he do? He grabs our rudder and he stomps on that thing and spins us around and points us right into it. And we're going, God, what are you doing? He goes, just watch this. And it's like a rocket, you know. And you're making it. How do we do this? The Holy Spirit in you brings it to pass. Now, if you're not a Christian today, man, I don't know how you're doing. Well, you're not doing it. You think you're doing it. You're not doing it. You're not going to make it. The third and final prayer, and we'll end right here, verse 13. Look what he says here. He says, this is my third prayer, so that he, that is the Lord, capital H in your Bible, he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. Listen, this is that word stand again. Blameless means that nobody can bring anything against you, charge you. Your debt has been paid. Jesus did that at the cross. Holiness is a practical maturing in Jesus Christ. When you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, you were saved that day. If you would have been hit by a truck that day, you'd have went to heaven. But now you've lived 5 years down the road. What's happened in your life? Holiness. Practical holiness. God has been changing you from the inside out. Are you any more saved than you were 5 years ago? No, they're saved the same. But you're walking more like Jesus. It's called Christian maturity. It happens. And here's an amazing thing about this. He prays for them that they would walk in this holiness. Why? Because he says Jesus is coming back with all of his saints. Now, what saints is he referring to? Scholars bicker on these two points. Number one, it's a reference to angels when he comes in the rapture. Or it has to deal with angels and those who died believing in Jesus Christ before the rapture, which I believe is what it applies to. The scripture says, we'll get into it in Thessalonians later on, that Jesus will bring with those who have died trusting in him, and he'll receive us up into the air. We'll be vanished from this place. It's called the rapture. And you go, well, that's pretty wild. Well, just wait. It's going to get better. And here's the thing. What this scripture suggests is that holiness has a lot to do with it. Does that mean we make ourselves holy? No, not at all. But it is a two-way street. And I want to end with this thought, very important. Jesus has saved you, and if that be true, you're going to be walking more like Christ because you're in the Bible, you're with one another, and you're growing. And what happens with this is you come out from the world and you're separated to the Lord. This room in this building is dedicated. It is holy, set apart for services and for main services here. It means to be set apart for a specific task. Have you been set aside for a specific task? Your task is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're born again, you have. You have been. And then this, the coming of the Lord, the scripture teaches in this book, is imminent at any second. And this church knew this. And the holiness is connected to his coming. If today, I told you that at 3:20 today, 3:21 today, the rapture of the church will happen and will be removed from the face of the earth and will meet the Lord over here in the east, northeastern sky at his coming. And it's going to happen at 3:21. And what if you believed it? Let's say it could be known. What would you do? What's inside your heart right now? What would you do? Would you say, gosh, you know what? Well, I'll go stop by, you know, Murphy's and pound a couple of bourbons, and then I'll pick up that X-rated movie I've been waiting to see all week. And then right at about a quarter after, I'll get my act together, repent, and even sit there with my Bible open. There's some people who live like that, you know. They live like that during the week, and then they come into church and lift their hands up. And then there are those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would hear this and you'd say, Jack, will you just absolutely stop talking and let us get out of here, because I'm going to just make a beeline for the highway, and even at the stoplights, I'm going to pull people out of their car and tell them that Jesus is coming back and you better hurry. And then I'll probably be crying most of the time because it just dawns on me that my son's not saved. And then what about my dad in Milwaukee? I got to call my dad to make sure he's given his heart to Christ. I've only got a few hours left. And he'll be back and the opportunity will be gone and it'll be over. The Bible teaches Jesus could come at any moment without a warning. And so the whole moral of the entire verse 13 is, are you living in such a way that you believe Jesus could come back today? And are you doing something with that? Is it real to you that he's coming? If it's real to us that he's coming, then we'll have a tendency not to dabble in things that will disgrace him because we love him. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask of you, Lord. Lord, I would be negligent right now as a pastor and as a surgeon to leave anything that would need to come out still in. While we're praying right now, people, if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, are you ready to meet him today? Maybe it is going to happen today. What will you do when Christ returns in that moment and you've been left behind? Very few will be his on that day. Have you made him your Lord? To do that today, you need to actually be able to admit to him that you're not perfect and that you need to be saved, that you have sinned. And that you're not ready to meet him now, and that you need to be. That you cannot save yourself, so you're going to ask him to save you. And that you're going to set apart your life for him. You've set it apart for you all these years. Now you're going to set it apart for him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Should Stand. Thank you for listening, and as our faith matures and our love grows, let us encourage one another to live our lives set apart for God. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, meanwhile, did you know that this ministry has an app? It's called the Real Life app. It's for your smartphone or tablet, and did you know? It's a free download. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. Now, did you know that with this one app, you can access Real Radio, Pastor Jack's program on Sirius XM, if you'd like, Real Life Devotions, which you hear us talk about quite often. The list seems to go on and on. Just download that app and you'll see. The Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. Also, don't forget to visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, should you ever need it, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.